Bibles. If you don't have one, you can scan that QR code right there by the title. That'll take you to the YouVersion app. You can download that and follow along as well. If you're willing and able, stand with us as we read God's Word together. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. It'd be helpful if I got there. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 25. The Bible says, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." I had a young girl tell me one time, "That creeping stuff, that's my brother." And verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image." The implication of the Trinity beginning back here in verse 26. "After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the earth, the cattle over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 27, where we're going to focus. God created man, mankind, in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We want to talk about very good this morning. God's design for womanhood. God's design for women. Would you pray, Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to take something that we typically think is a dry antiseptic subject, and I pray instead it would become alive to us. I pray every person here, Lord, male and female, would feel the dignity of their created worth. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us and enthuse us, and I pray we would push back against the counter, about against the culture and against all the chaos that is out there. And I pray particularly, Lord, for folks who are so absolutely maligned right now by the false teaching, so absolutely abused by what they see on social media and portrayed in movies, and the absolute over-sexualization, Lord, particularly their gender. I pray that you'd help us again restore a biblical, holistic view to this, and then help us see the gospel. Help us see how you redeem us from being fallen. And I pray that you restore to us the dignity of your created order. And I pray you'd help us. Spirit of God, speak to hearts. I pray you'd help me as I preach. I pray, Lord Jesus, you get honor and glory this morning as we spend this brief time together in your word. We love you and we need you. We pray all this in your son's precious and holy name. And amen. You can be seated. Several of you talked to me through this week, said I'm looking forward to talking about Ehud today. Ehud, really important. We're recording today, yeah. And talking about Ehud today. And I said, yeah, I'm going to preach Ehud, the left-handed assassin. I'm convinced the Lord wants me to preach that on Mother's Day. And about 8 o'clock last night, the Holy Spirit's going, are you sure about that? You sure you want to talk about subterfuge and death and everything on Mother's Day? And I'm like, yeah. And anyway, about 11 o'clock, I'm like, all right, Lord, where are we headed? Where are we headed? And so I know several of you are going, I would have really have enjoyed that on Mother's Day, talking about the left-handed assassin. We'll come back next week and we'll talk about the left-handed assassin. There was a mother, so the story goes, who reared three boys and they became very successful. And it was time for the grandmother's day gift, and they said, we're going to outdo one another. The first guy said, you know what I'm going to do? I've been really successful, and I'm buying mom the biggest house that I can find, and it is just absolutely amazing. It's in the best neighborhood, and so she bought this big, marvelous, wonderful house. The second brother, the middle brother, he said, well, that's nothing. Said, I've got mom a brand new Mercedes, and I've contracted with a driver. She'll never have to drive anywhere again. She has to dial the number. The guy will come, pick her up, and tool her around in this brand new Mercedes. And the third guy scoffed, and he said, you know, mom's having a little difficulty reading nowadays, and she loves the Bible. Said, I've been planning this for years, and this found this guy who's trained this parrot for 12 years. Some of you are already laughing. I'll be done. And trained this parrot for 12 years. And if you give the parrot the Bible chapter in number, the parrot will just say and read the whole chapter from memory. So they give the gifts and they wait the verdict. Anybody like me? A mom, I didn't say that. Anybody know anybody who has a mother, stepmother, grandmother who gives verdicts on things? You don't have to wonder what they think. They will tell you. Anybody like that? And so the verdict comes a little later to the first son, Milton. Milton, thank you for the house, but it's just me now, and I have to clean the stupid thing. Thanks for nothing. To the second son, Gerald. Gerald, thank you again for the gift, but I'm old, I'm feeble, I'm tired all the time. I don't go anywhere, and the driver creeps me out. So thanks for the car, it looks good in the driveway. Looks good in the driveway. And to the third son, thank you. I loved your gift, Donald. You know exactly what your mama needs. I've never had a better tasting chicken. And so the story goes. So the story goes. One of the reasons that we are always fear and trepidation on Mother's Day and Father's Day and these kind of days is because it's not always simple. It's not always rosy. Truth of the matter is, throughout history, throughout your life, perhaps, men have intentionally or unintentionally hurt women, been treated as inferior. They've been overlooked, underappreciated. Some of you have worked for the worst of the worst. By the way, some of you women have been mistreated by women. Scripture demonstrates the roles that we all to play and what God's desire for us. Not for nothing, women have hurt men, confusing their own ambitions. And how many folks have just been completely blindsided by the person they married, whether the man or the woman? And we live in a culture, in a society that challenges from the pages of Scripture, the first pages of Scripture, what men and women, who are to be and what they ought to do and how they are to relate with one another. There's some current events, and I just gave them to you just rat-a-tat-tat just to remind you. Excuse me. No less than the author of Harry Potter herself has come out and taken such absolute grief as she says, a woman is a woman, not a man pretending to be a woman. And again, all these folks that are going out and they're having the surgery and they're becoming sterilized, and they, instead of helping them with their mental illness, they're aiding and abetting. And that is an absolute positive attack on women. And it's tamped down now because leadership in the West has changed, but it's still going all over the place. Nothing got off of Netflix. Nothing got off of social media. It's just not in the news as much anymore because it's not politically correct right now. There's still the trafficking of women. I never forget being downtown. And when we first came, we were like, we're going to help. There's such a huge homeless population downtown. And we would go down there once a month and we were serving meals and doing all these kind of things. We hadn't really connected with CARM or the Red Cross. And in fact, we'd gotten some bad advice, you know, not to use them. And so we were down there and we were doing some things. And there was a note on the on the answer machine, and then there was a sticker on the door, and then they actually found some people in our church, and one of the head of the detectives said, we need you to stop going down where you are. Said, you are enabling those folks to do, and we pushed back a little bit. He said, you don't understand. He said 100 yards from where you served last Sunday is one of the major sex trafficking places on 75 and 40, and we're trying to root it out, and you're trying to make it easy. They just had to roll over, get over there, and they were coming getting plates for the people and the women that they were hiding. And you think you're helping, but you're hurting. I said, okay, sir, we won't do that anymore. Again, right here in our backyard, the teaching of Islam. Some of you that grew up Islam adjacent, you understand the absolutely barbaric way that women are treated, and that whole idea and that whole culture. Pastor Polson, I had lunch with him the other day, and he had just gotten back from Egypt. He pastors at West Park Baptist Church, and he said some of these folks, man, they've gotten saved, and God said one of the major things right now is not that women in the church, not that women are allowed to drive. He said, but one of the hurdles that they're having right now is will the Bible permit a woman to drive her husband's car? And they said, they asked me, what did I think? And what did I think? He said, I think I'm late for my plane. And we're kind of here. This overwhelmed. We smile at that kind of thing, but the overwhelm, the effect of TikTok and social media. If you don't look like this, you need to buy these products. And it's easy. You don't have to think real hard. You just mouse over that thing, and that product on that screen will be at your door, because that's what young ladies need. Man, they just need more and more and more cosmetics. Unbelievable effects of social media. The trauma of elective surgery. Again, just move through that. And then the trap of unrealistic freedom and sexual expression. A friend of mine called me. His daughter was at a quote-unquote Christian college down in Florida. He thought I had some connections down there. He said, Rodney, I'm at my wits' end. I think I'm going to go home and go grab my daughter and bring her home. I said, what are you talking about? Said, her roommate has just taken her third anti-abortificant pill. We used to call it RU86, or 486. He said she's taking her third one. Says she's got STDs. She said she's had them. She keeps sleeping with different guys. She keeps taking the morning after pill. She's so out of it and all. And said my daughter is terrified of what's going on and what this young girl's doing. And I said, what do you mean? Said I thought she was going to this school. Said she is. She says, why I'm calling you. I said, what do you do? I said, I'd go bring her home if they're not going to do anything about it. She said, it's everywhere. If that's what young people who would wear the name Christian are doing. And this is the way to be happy. By the way, I don't care if man or woman. It's sinful. Somebody say amen. The trap. And so we're looking at this. So what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? How is the Bible going to help us? And I'm going to just 1, 2, 3 here, and then we're going to let you go, and you go out there and get your loot. Number one, our culture is confused about identity because it's rejected the Creator. Biggest lie the devil's ever sold is you can't follow me and be happy. The Bible talks about God created us, and God tells us how we're doing. Dignity, identity, and purpose are only found in God's design and only found through Jesus Christ. That will be the most controversial thing I say this morning. True dignity, true identity are found there. The happiest you'll ever be is the closest you'll ever get to Jesus. Following Him. No, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to be over here. All those things are cherries on top. They will not make you happy. You can be absolutely broke and be thrilled to death with King Jesus. You can have all the money in the world and be as miserable as you can be. You can bed somebody different every night, and you can be as miserable as is anything. You can drink. You can do all whatever it is that the world tells you ought to do. I'm telling you, this is only found through Jesus Christ. Only found through Jesus Christ. Number one. A woman was created with dignity. Let me give you these principles. I'm going to give you an application, and we'll go. You still with me? Say amen. All right, number one, woman. Men and women created by God with dignity. You don't acquire dignity. You're born with dignity. You're created with dignity. You're not inferior. You're not insufficient. You don't need to lose 30 pounds to have dignity. You don't need to put on 30 pounds to have dignity. You don't need to have a successful career and a successful job. You intrinsic, innate value. By the way, it's foolish to me to have to say that anymore. It's foolish to me to have to say this comes from the Bible versus the other way around. I always feel like I'm on defense when people, yeah, the Bible is really mean about women. The Bible's not mean about women. The Bible, from the jump, men and women created by God, women and men created by God. This is the essence of dignity. You're created this way. You have value. By the way, if you've been deeply wounded and hurt, there's abuse and mistrust in your past, again, I ask you to extend a little credit. And I promise you that if you will trust Christ, He will never disappoint you. And I'm sorry you've been beaten up and misled and misdone by others. But you'd be created this way. They're created specially. We're created specially by God. We're made in His image. We didn't evolve. We're not an accident. This means we have a spiritual relationship, and we can have the. We're spiritual beings. We're relational beings. We're rational beings. We're moral beings. All of these kind of things. You did not evolve. You were not the accident of some goo in a random pool that was struck by cosmic lightning. God had you in mind when He created Adam and Eve, and we are all their progeny, and you are created the direct result of God to us. And you have worth. They have worth because I have children or don't have. No, you have worth because you're created by God. I have worth because I'm married. You have worth because you're created by God. Because I'm good looking, or because I'm taller, because I'm shorter, because I can sing, or because I can cook. You have worth because you were created by God, because we bear God's image. You are not an object. You are not to be ogled and idolized. One of the most pernicious things right now about social media, soft pornness of social media, than the other side of those kind of things, is the objectification of men and women, which is absolutely sinful, because we are not objects. We are created by God. Somebody say amen. You're not disposable. The maddest I've ever been. I told this story, if my notes are right, I told this about 5 years ago. Maddest I've ever been. We were at service that morning. Guy was coming by me saying, "Have you talked to so-and-so?" I said, "No, about what?" said he's left his wife. I said, "He hadn't left his wife. I saw him together last week." Said, "He's left his wife, preacher. You need to talk to him." Ate with the family. Riley wasn't born yet. Ate with the family, took Andre and Allison home. Went, he just lived a few blocks over. I go over and knock on the door. It's Sunday afternoon. I figure I'm waking people up. Nobody comes through the door. And then all of a sudden, I hear from the RV. "Pastor, is that you?" I go over there and I go, "Hey, man, what you doing in an RV? You cleaning it out?" He went, "No." I noticed his wedding band's gone. I said, what are you doing there, man? What are you doing? He said, "Well, I'm living out here." I said, "What are you living out here for?" I'm still hoping for a good answer to this question. "You are married. You got three children." He got 1, 2, 3 children. Stair steppers. Even in his first marriage, he started over again. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, we're just not getting along." I was like, "Tough noogies, man. Go inside and make up." You know, that was my marriage counseling back then. You know, tough. Go in and fix it. Fix it. He said, "Well, I've met somebody else. I feel it coming. Feel it coming. My neck's red. I am a redneck, and then I'm about to be a red-eared neck." I said, "What do you mean you found somebody else?" He traded in a newer model. His wife was in her 30s. He found somebody in her 20s. I said, "How do you know?" "Because I met them eating lunch together the next week while he was still married. He introduced me as his pastor. One of the few times in my life I corrected him. I am not his pastor. He attends our church. Because if I was his pastor, he would listen to me." I didn't say that out loud, but I said it in my head. I warned him. I confronted him. I upbraided him. He'd never joined. I couldn't do any discipline to him. But I said, "You will regret this to the longest day you live." Why? Women are not disposable. Men aren't disposable either. Women are not defined by culture. Evidence to the contrary. And we possess, and women in particular possess, worth and dignity. Say, "I know all this stuff. I want you to understand, this is what God says about you. This is what God says to you." God says to you. Sin has distorted all this. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What has sin done to us? What is sin? Sin has brought confusion. Sin has brought brokenness. You ever felt brokenness in your life? You ever felt brokenness in your relationships? You ever watched it in people that you love? You ever come in on Monday morning and people sharing their brokenness from the weekend of excess? Anybody like me, you read the stuff people put on social media and going, "Why are you sharing all your brokenness? Why are you glorying in your brokenness?" Sin has brought confusion. Sin has brought brokenness. Sin has brought shame, struggle, relationship distortions. And we search for all of these things in appearance and media and sexuality and success and expression and approval. And it's not God's design, all these things. The problem is not what God did. The problem is with us. It's our sin. What do women need? They need Jesus. What do men need? They need Jesus. What do we need to get back to? We need to get back to Genesis. We need to understand God's design for us and God's help for us. We need to understand all of these things. We are fallen, sinful, lawbreakers in need of a Savior. Who fixes all that for us, by the way? Who fixes all that? Jesus. What's every man need who's ever been born? What's every woman need who's ever been? Every man and every woman needs to have restored to them what sin has been broken through what Christ has done on our behalf. Christ has done on our behalf. I'm sorry, I'm a couple of slides behind there. Your Bibles are open there. Flip all the way toward the back, and this is where we're going to end up here. Ephesians chapter 5. Go with me if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. Or Ephesians chapter 2, rather. Ephesians chapter 2. Some of you are turning, some of you are writing. All of you firstborns are trying to get all the notes. I'm very sorry about that. I'll make sure they're all updated on the app. The problem is sin. The problem is sin. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 with me. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. I love the way that you can interpret that. We are not his workmanship, we are his masterpiece. God restores what sin has broken. Say, my life's a mess and people have done this to me. I would not minimize your pain and your suffering for a moment, but I can tell you God can transform you into his masterpiece. Say, you don't know. I don't. I don't need to know because God already knows. And he can do what? He can change everything. He can write a new story in your life. Some of you, that's your testimony today. The last few years, last few months, it may be even, God has changed your life story and is making you his masterpiece, a trophy of his grace. Say, preacher, are you upset at people? No. You missed the point. Sin enters all of our lives. And Jesus is the only one who can help us handle our sin. Sin always goes further than we want it to, and it always does more. And there's always heartache and heartbreak. And in the midst of all that, God gives his mercy and his grace, and he restores, and he brings back what has been stolen from us. And he can change your life and my life today. Because when he looked at you, he saw very good. When he looked at me, he saw very good. And then sin and fallenness and all of that. And then he offers it again to make us very good through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And to change us. And you and I can come with our brokenness and our bitterness and our sin. We can come to him and say, God, this is all awful. And God can take it and put it on, and as it were, put it on his cross. And then offer to us the hope of forgiveness and a new relationship. And that's what we need. Somebody say amen with me. It's very good. Very good. So what do we need? What do we need here? What do you need? I'm done. Jesus provides forgiveness for sinners. New identity, restoration, purpose, hope for the broken. Man, that sounds so good to me. Some of you right now, boy, this is exactly what you need. What do we need? We need men and women particularly who really know what it means to be saved, who really love the scripture, and who are being built up. And if that all sounds far-fetched to you, could I remind you that the God who spoke the world into existence can change your life in an instant? See, I've tried before. I'm glad he's the God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. See, I've been so hurt and so maligned by others. I promise Jesus will never disappoint you. To change your life this morning, the privilege of getting in the scripture and not being people of social media, but being people of the scripture. And then to be strong. I am who the Bible says that I am, not who society says that I am. I am not who my ex says that I am. I am who God says that I am. And that comes from trusting Christ and asking him to forgive us for sins. And that comes as we get into the scriptures and learning the word. And that comes as we become built up in the faith. Very good. Not because you've done what a video told you to do, but you have listened to what the scripture says about you. So we're going to do things a little different today. We're going to bow our heads just for a second. I'm doing it a little differently on purpose. Here's what I want you to do. If you're here today and you've got a spiritual need, in just a moment, I want to encourage you to come. And then the second thing is I'm going to ask our men who know Christ in particular, but our men, if they're willing, I want you to stand today in just a moment, and I want you to pray. I want you to pray for the ladies in your life, the sisters, the moms, whoever that is, spouses, nieces, nieces, whoever that is. I want you to pray for those people. I want you to pray for the ladies that are around you, and I want you to thank God for them. I want us with our voices today, with our prayers today, with our standing today, to say to a world who says, if you don't look like this, or you don't make this kind of money, or if you don't have this kind of education, whatever it is, that you're not worth and worthy, we stay instead. No, God said, you are very good because you are created by me. And that in our fallenness, we can be redeemed. But would you pray and bless those in just a moment? So if you have a spiritual need this morning, you say, Pastor Rodney, I'm here today and I haven't followed Christ yet. I know I'm a sinner and I know I need to, but I'm putting it off. But I'm aware, and that's the next thing I need to do. And whether you're man or woman, I know we've talked about men standing in a second, but would you pray for me? That's the next thing I need to do. I need to follow Christ. Would you just slip your hand up with mine? That's the next thing I need to do. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Would you pray for me this morning? That's the next thing I need to do. Young person, mom, dad, whoever it is. And then secondly, would you, some of you men, just stand right now. You don't have to pray out loud. Would you just pray? Pray for our ladies. Pray for these young ladies in high school. Pray for these young ladies in middle school. Would you pray as society screams at them and lies to them? Would you pray for them as they're lied to by their phones and their app? Would you pray for them? Would you pray for your daughters and your sisters and those in your life? Would you stand and pray and thank God for them and ask God to help them, that they would understand who they are according to Scripture, and that they would know the love of Christ, and that God would help them to understand and not listen to all the noise and the junk, but instead to the beautiful voice of Christ who calls them loved and beloved. And so, Father, with our heads bowed this morning, we pray an Ebenezer, a blessing on the ladies in our lives. We thank you for them. We ask you to help them. I pray for the men here who are husbands, that they would be portraits of Christ to their spouses. They would lead with honor and with integrity. And that, God, you would help them, that they would model Christ in the home. Lord, for the young men who are here, I pray that you would help them to treat the women that they date with great love and respect as a sister in Christ. And that, God, you would help them to stay pure and have pure thoughts, that they would never objectify a woman, that they would never participate in things on their phone, their computers, that would dishonor what, God, you have called honorable. Oh, I pray that you give them great integrity of heart and of mind. And Lord, I pray for those even now who stand and their heart is a little empty, as someone that they used to pray for quite often is no longer here. Oh, how I pray that you would whisper sweet peace to their heart. Make us men of honor and integrity. And I pray for every lady here that they would be people of the book. Every lady here, they would know personally Christ Jesus the Savior. I pray that they would get, Lord, their value, their worth, and their integrity, Lord, not even from their family, but they would get it from you. They would understand what it means to be loved by the Savior, and that you are making them into your masterpiece of grace. So thank you for that. May every young girl never question whether they are loved and precious in the sight of Christ. May we never give them that impression. And may we do our very best, Lord. So thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you called our precious ladies and men very good. Thank you that we are the beautiful objects of your creation. We love you. We thank you. We ask all this in your Son's precious name, and God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Be seated. How many of you are glad that's what the Bible says? Amen? Amen. Boy, appreciate it so much. You've heard the announcements. You've got some things to pray about. Again, as we leave today, thank you so much. Again,